Hi, it's DGAF. And this is season 4 of Sessions. Let's get it this year. Let's save the princess, right? Sound guy, it's nice to be back at the granny flat, huh? All right. Week 46 of 50. Back in LA. Bonus session plus lead out part 2. So it's around 3 a.m. on Thursday, November 18th, 2021. I'm at the Hustler Casino in LA and I'm playing 5-5-10 and often bigger because people like to straddle, and 5-5-10 are just the blinds. So 5-5-10-20, and you can double straddle, triple straddle. And one of the players that played on stream earlier returned from a fun night. That's what it looks like. He's got red eyes. He's kind of giddy, and he's already been all in just since he sat down. So the game's playing very big, and this guy seems awesome. And I'm not going to say who it is because I don't think I should. Anyways, I called, and there was the table was just really good at this hour. There was Doug Polk, the hustler professional, but the rest were, you know, he's fine. And the rest were, a bunch of gamblers in the middle of the night. And one of the Armenian dude on my right, not the younger one from way earlier in the session, but someone who's, you know, approaching 40, open to 45, and this was small because it was 5-5-10-20, and I called with 10-9 of clubs, someone else called, and then the player that played on the stream earlier made it 285. You already heard about this at the end of part one. I'm just recapping, and the Armenian dude called, I called, and the other person folded. So three ways in position, 900 in there, and the flop came Jack, XX, and we all checked. They checked, and these aren't the kind of guys to bluff. And, you know, the guy that plays much bigger and was on stream earlier and then went and had some fun and came back and has already been all in, and he makes it 285 pre and checks the flop, you don't want to be bluffing here. And, you know, especially not in a three-way pot. So I checked. And then the turn was the miracle card. It gave me the world, the queen of clubs, open-ended with a flush draw. And now he bet 400. Did the guy who returned from stream. I mean, the person who played on stream, and then maybe he didn't go have fun. Maybe he went and worked, and that made his eyes all red, and he was just happy to be back playing poker. I don't know. I don't need to speculate. But he's in a gambling mood. That's all that matters. And now he bets 400, and the Armenian dude calls, and I call with my huge draw, the world. And you do need to win these pots sometime. When there's 2,100 in the middle already, and this is the kind of game where if you bink either a flush or a straight, you're going to get paid more. You just are. And because if you win one of these, now you're winning a lot on the night, and now you're not stressed, and now you're not playing bad hands and forcing things. And that's really when things go poorly for most of us at the poker tables, when we force stuff and you have momentum, and then a bigger game pops up and you can play in it. You might run good in that. And then you don't look back. And so an 8 will be great here. A king will get me more money because it's likely to hit one of my opponents. And a club will also get me paid by probably the guy who came back, who played on the stream earlier and came back hours later, because it seems like he has something already. And anyways, the river was an ace. I whiffed, and it was not a club. And the two players got it all in. And so, the guy that played on stream bet, and the other guy went all in, and I folded, and he called, and I'm pretty sure it was ace-queen against king-10. So the other guy was open-ended without a flush draw. The Armenian dude, he binked. Good for him. Really nice guy. I know. It would have been cool to hit that one. It would have been you don't want to say a pot is life-changing, but these turning points kind of are. The big pot of the night, if you cooler the other guy instead of him coolering you, if you get there or hold as opposed to them getting there or holding, that really matters. And I don't know. I really wanted to win this one. I know a lot of you listening did as well. Sound guy, would you say, you said cliffhangers always end bad. Yeah, I guess maybe they have. And maybe the next one will end well. Or maybe there won't be any more cliffhangers. I just realized when I was preparing for this drop, and I get feedback from patrons, they don't like cliffhangers. Including one of them said, fuck you with your cliffhangers. And I didn't, they said we're coming back anyways to listen. And I didn't even realize that cliffhangers are a tactic to get people to come back to listen. I just kind of always liked them as a kid watching a show. Like, it gave me something to think about until the next show. Obviously, they're just trying to bring you back, or maybe that was the intention of them. I like them from an artistic perspective, but the podcast will be moving in a different direction. It'll be less of a story and more of individual sessions. So I don't know if there'll be any cliffhangers in the next season, if we have a next season. But yeah, this one ended poorly, as Sound Guy predicted it would. Good call, man. And I don't know. Let me take a sip of this 7-Up Zero, and then let's go on to the next hand history. Okay, so the player who played on stream came back with red eyes and a little giddy hours later, you know, in the middle of the night. So maybe he just went and worked and he didn't have the right, screen glasses or whatever you call them. And that's why his eyes are red and he's happy. Could be. Who knows? Who cares? He limps. And this is just a 5-5-10-20 hand. That's a big game, obviously. And that's the beauty of this hustler game. It's a $300 buy-in. And, oh, but look, you're playing bigger than 10-20 here. And that's the beauty of it. And it works for all player pools. And, anyways, he limps. And I have king 10 of clubs in the 20, and I decide it's too good of a hand to just check. And I go to 120, I 6x, and he calls. And it comes ace, king, x. And there are two spades. And I check, and he bets 300. I'm not folding yet. I call. The turn's an x, I check, and he checks. And the river's a spade, I check, and he bets 300 again. And this is very consistent with someone betting their flush draw, taking their free card, and hitting their flush. You would think they would probably bet a little bigger, typically, on the river. But this guy also has been all in twice, and he just got back. And I don't know. I call the 300 expecting to lose, right? Because the pot is what? It was 120 each preflop. That's 240. 300 each. We're at 840. He bets 300, 1140. I don't have to be right. I don't have to win that often to make this call correct. I think if it was a player I didn't think came back from something really fun, I could maybe find a fold, but I called and he had a flush. So it was what it looked like. And I got, someone flopped a flush draw and it was a naked flush draw. I forgot what it was, like maybe queen eight of spades or something. And got there. And that's okay. You just can't have that happen too often or fuck poker. Okay. So now they limp. And I squeeze with ace queen and just this person who was extremely friendly and just an enjoyable person to be around. And I don't think it was entirely had to do. I don't think it entirely had to do with what they may or may not have done after stream and before this session. But I think they're just a cool person. And so I squeeze and this person calls the stream player and it comes 876 and I check and this person checks and it turns a queen and now I'm going to bet and this person calls and the river's a three and I know to check. I fucking know to check here. I knew on the turn this person was calling with a draw. The turn didn't bring any draws, but it was some kind of draw that was flopped And I knew it, and I still bet, thinking, well, maybe I'm wrong. And that's when you're playing bad, is when you go against your first inclination, if it's not an instinct, or you just know, okay, I should check here because this person missed, and they will bluff, and they might bluff huge. And I bet, and this person snap folded. So, I don't know. It's a, who knows? Maybe this person would not have bluffed, but I just knew to check, and I bet it's not the end of the world, but it's close. Okay, now we got a five-way bloater, and I have queen, jack of diamonds. Pretty nice hand. The flop comes down. I got this one, Cinny. Ace, six, three, all black. Okay, so I fold. And then I make a good call on the river with ace high and win against the player that played on the stream several hours prior, which makes me really regret betting the river with my ace queen on 8-7-6 queen 3 when I knew to check, but so what? I made a good call here, and now I mentioned this player named Nat, and this guy's a character. He's been around since the boom, played with this guy a ton in, at Ocean's 11, everywhere. I've played with him in Vegas, LA, you name it. He's a funny dude. He told the dealer, wait a second, I've been a blind five hands in a row. It feels like that when you're playing shorthanded and fast. That's what these games are in the middle of the night. They're fast, and there's three blinds to start, and sometimes people are straddling. That's great. Anyways, he turned me in a nice-sized pot, and that's just all I had for the notes on that one. It's just regular variance. But he didn't have to turn me. I could have won that pot as well. And then here you go. The stream player, is, I think maybe, you know, has 2,500, 3K, and Doug Polk has him covered, and the stream player gets pocket queens, and Doug Polk gets kings, and they get it all in for the 5K pot or whatever it was, and Doug Polk, the professional, wins. And this is not Doug Polk, it's Doug Polk, the Brazilian kid, nice guy, plays well, I fucking hate him. The Hustler Reg Pro, and yeah, he's played on stream, and I named him Doug Polk. And anyways, those are hands. This is part of being a new pro. Yes, you work on your game, and you go in there ready to play, and you put in the hours, but you also get these big pots that go your way often, and the rest of the poker population just doesn't, and whatever. Good for him. The stream player didn't give a shit. This person does well in life and has the right attitude at the poker table for sure. But now, I mentioned earlier in part one when Nat thought he was a blind five hands in a row, that Doug Polk did the right thing and posted whatever the blind was that Nat was supposed to play. Just put $5 or $10 out there for him. He did the right thing as a professional with a recreational player in the game and wanting to keep the game going. And it's just the right thing. Whatever it is, $5 or $10, doesn't matter. You're pro, you fucking do it, right, in that spot. Well, now he does something I don't like. He seat hops the player that played on stream earlier with the red eyes and giddy. And I don't like that at all. You don't seat hop. And I know he's probably a 5-5 pro, and maybe it's not as bad, but if he plays bigger, which I assume he will, he's playing in this game and he played on stream, which was bigger, and he's definitely plays well enough to play bigger. You can't do this shit. You cannot fucking seat hop. And, you know, I'm not going to call it out or anything, bring attention to it, but it's bad. So on one hand, he understood, I'm the pro here, making a living off these dudes who have their disposable income on the table, and they're happy to dispose of it as long as they get some fun out of it, something. And so he understood that before, and now seat hopping is it's you can't do that. If you want to be a grown-up poker pro, you cannot fucking seat hop. Fuck that shit. Anyways, it's okay. Hopefully he'll learn. The game's still really good. I was a little deflated after breaking with the 10-9 of clubs and getting rivered in the other one where I had king 10 of clubs and getting turned by Nat and seeing this new pro go full new pro and get the 5K pot in the automatic spot and then seat hop. And anyways, I'd been there for 5 hours and I said, I gotta go. I gotta leave. I built this game. It was good when the Patrons were in it. It got better when they left. I joke about the Patrons a lot, but you know, at least they're better than the middle of the night D-gens. And it was just such a good game, but I had nothing left inside. I played for 5 hours. I won $50 overall. A very swingy session. I've had many of them. But winning $50 didn't do anything for me. I lost $200 on this night betting on the young Brit in the main event, one of the final three. I think he got third. And I spent, you know, a bunch on drinks. I had my credit card down at the bar while people were upstairs. And anyways, I left not happy. I left the hustler not a happy camper, as they say. And another sip of this 7-Up-0, and let's do the lead out. So, yeah, I never even ate dinner on this night. I worked all day, and then I ate something, I believe, before I went to work at Hustler Casino Live, and then 5 hours there, and went upstairs, and the plan was to eat. The food's good at the Hustler. They have many dishes I like. Well, I didn't get to eat one, and then I played a five-hour session, and I played my worst, the absolute worst that I've played, definitely in part one. And then I just decided to stop playing horribly, and I played a little bit better. And part of that is just things go your way, you start playing better, and that'll happen in a session coming up. I've already played a bunch of sessions after this, so that's a little foreshadowing. It might not be the next one, but it'll happen soon where I'll start playing well after running well. And I don't know, it's you kind of, when you're in the abyss, when you're just on this downswing, and you kind of do need an easy session. You just do. And you see them every time you go, someone gets the easy session. And you need it occasionally. It's just good for everything. And it's also such entitlement. It's just fucking ridiculous to think that you're entitled to it. I don't. I just know I need it to play better when I'm so worn out, when I have no energy, I haven't even eaten, I've been working like a fucking madman, over 100 hours a week. That's not an exaggeration. It's what I've been doing. I have so many different projects. And so I actually do need an easy session, and I haven't got one. I think back to the boom. And we'll just go back in time a little bit here. And I just did an interview with Jen Shahadi, who has an amazing podcast called The Grid. And I talked about my first important hand in No Limit Hold'em. And on the very first day of the boom in San Diego, I was at the card room and they said, "We're going to start a No Limit game." And everyone was like, "Huh? Okay." And I sat in it. Anyways, I was talking to her about that. And then I realized I got so into poker just after that very first day. I was already a casino rat. I played in casinos when you could smoke in the fucking one, everywhere except the one in the nine seat. You could smoke ciggies. Yeah, I played stud eight. I played a lot of limit hold'em. You could smoke cigarettes unless you were sitting next to the dealer. Imagine that. And that's how old school I am. And I was already playing like 20 hours a week. And then when the boom hit, and I was there the very first day, and it just took me to another level. I was already a hot shot in the casinos, you know, but these games were small. And now I just found a new game, and I dove in head first, absorbed all the content and materials I could, and got as good as I could. And I was writing about it the whole time. I kept a diary the whole time. I had best play, worst play, and notes, kind of like I do now. It's pretty weird to think about. But I also ran horribly at the beginning of the boom. This guy, I think his name was Booga. He was this just really funny character in San Diego poker, and he had a cigar in his mouth all the time. It wasn't lit. By this point, you couldn't smoke in a poker room, I don't think, during the boom. No, you couldn't. And he said to me one day, we played all the time, and I was playing well. I was locked. I was, you know, learning faster than anyone, and, you know, probably by today's standards, not playing great, but I was, he said, you're the unluckiest player I've ever played with. He said that and he was being sincere. And I just had to deal with this for a few years. And it was, yeah. And then 3 years later, I went on a heater. And I don't know, I think we talked about that in the interview as well. But it took 3 fucking years of running like dog shit. And then it was like a switch got flipped. And then I actually heard, you're the luckiest player I've ever played with from a different old school reg. And that was, and then later in my career, I heard the other thing again, you're the unluckiest. So I've run very hot and cold in my career. But during the boom, the beginning of the boom, I never thought I was entitled to anything. I just kept going and I loved the challenge and all that. But I got a lot of miles on me, as they say. And, you know, I was not happy as I left the Hustler Casino, not at all, as I headed towards the DoubleTree in Torrance just after 4 a.m. on Thursday, November 18th. I needed fucking food. I needed lots of it, right? I didn't even get to eat after my Hustler Casino live commentating gig. And, you know, had a few beers, went straight to poker, put in 5 hours there, and just really need to binge some fucking food. And there's McDonald's. And that's, you know, the woat. McDonald's is the woat. Some guy made a documentary about how if you eat it too much, you'll die. And so that's where I want to go. I want to go to fucking McDonald's right now. And I want to order 2 cheeseburgers, large fry, and maybe something else if they have something else. I just want to binge on some horrible fucking food. And I know many of you have been there before. And they have 2 lanes to the drive-thru. And in the other lane, I'm in the left lane, in the right lane is some hottie in a really nice car. And it's really weird how often I'm in the vicinity of hotties. It's just variance too. It's fucking weird. Especially if you don't sleep much, it seems very weird. Anyways, it's after 4 a.m. It's like 4:17 a.m. And I look on the menu and it's breakfast. And the person says, you know, how can I help you? And I said, is it breakfast only? And he says, yeah. I'm thinking, you motherfuckers, who wants breakfast right now? 4:17 a.m.? I don't want breakfast. And so I say, okay, give me a second. And I look at the menu. I see the most expensive meal. It's a 2 sausage McMuffin meal. And they look big. Each one looks big. And I said, I'll get 2 sausage McMuffin meal. And he says, meal? And I said, yes, meal. Just give me all that horrible food right now. And it looks so fucking horrible. And at the same time, exactly what I want. I'm very hungry. And I get to the thing, it's $9.95. And if you go to McDonald's and it's $9.95, you're getting a lot of calories, a lot of comfort food, and you're going to fuck up your arteries. And I want all that right now. And I got an OJ. What drink do you want? I don't know. Give me a fucking orange juice. And so the guy hands me the orange juice and says, okay, do you mind pulling up there? You know, they're making your food. And I said, sure, man, I'll pull up there. And I pull up there. And that just means a curb a little bit ahead of the drive-thru window. And then I see they had the hottie behind me pull up as well. Okay, so someone's slacking off in the kitchen. And I just sit up there and I'm just kind of tilting. I'm just fucking tilting. 10 minutes passes maybe, and it feels like an eternity. And this is not just tilt, but this is also how busy I am. When you're working all the time, you're just chasing something that you can never obtain. And you know, once I'm done with season 4, all tons of work for season 5, but I do think it'll slow down. But really, I'm just trying to stay afloat. And that's why when someone messages me, it's stress, you know, and someone asked me to do something basic. It's, oh my God, really? And so, you know what I did? I did a fucking walk-off from McDonald's, a drive-off. I paid my $9.95. I got my orange juice. I waited 10 minutes and I said, fuck it. Keep my money and that shitty food I was going to binge. I need to get the fuck out of here. I need to get back to my hotel room, fuck myself and fall asleep. And so I did a walk off from McDonald's. It's not my first one. It's my first one on purpose. One time I went with a bunch of degenerates when we were really young, 21, to Las Vegas, and we all got wasted on the way out there. Someone had some kind of maybe a Ford Explorer. And, you know, there was like nine of us in there and we're just drinking and fucking, you know, getting wasted. And then we need to eat before we get into Vegas, coming from San Diego, went to Prim, ordered like everyone ordered. So it must've been, you know, $40 or something back then. Bunch of people ordered McDonald's and we paid. And then they sent us to the next window. And the next thing you know, we were like 5 minutes outside of regular Vegas. So maybe 40 minutes away. And someone's like, where's the food? And not one of us even realized it, including the driver who might have been drinking. Don't judge us. So that was an unintentional McDonald's walk-off. This one was fucking intentional. I'm just on tilt. And yes, I need balance in my life badly. And hopefully I get that. Hopefully I get that soon. So I got back into the DoubleTree. I parked, put my mask on to go. You got to wear a mask in the hotel, and went up to my room, and just so I just can feel it. You know, when I look at people, I just know I'm on edge. I'm defense from the movie Falling Down. If you haven't seen that movie, it's a great movie. So I recommend you check it out. And then you'll know who I am at this stage of my life. Hopefully not forever. Hopefully I can start changing that soon. But that's what I am right now. That's what 4 years on the grind will do to a man if he's still in a desperate situation, I believe. At least it's what it's done to me. And anyways, I watched some questionable content when I got back to my room. And when you're on the super grind, you know, other people are like, do you want to go golfing? Do you want? I would love to, but I can't. Do you want to go out? No, can't. Don't want to go to this concert? I wish. I do want to. Can't. When you're, all you have is, you know, at the end of the night, binging food and or alcohol, usually, not on this night. And you have questionable content on the internet. Human beings need some pleasure. So when you're just fucking grinding yourself to dust, that's what you got. You binge some food or alcohol. I got, you know, I tilted and did a walk off from McDonald's. So no food. I don't feel like drinking. And it just some questionable, you know, content. And I fell asleep and I slept like dog shit. Go figure. But you know what? When I woke up on Thursday, November 18th, and I looked in the mirror, I looked slimmer. I don't know if that was just me projecting, but I looked a little fucking slimmer, and I was happy about that. And then I went downstairs to get some coffee and a bagel, and I worked. And I showered, and then I headed to the Hustler. And so that's what my days have been thus far. Each time I go up to the Hustler is wake up, have coffee, maybe a bagel, work on notes, record. I bring my stuff with me. I bring this microphone and my little, you know, portable soundproofing thing with me. And then I sometimes take like a quick nap and then I head to the Hustler and prepare for the show and then work 5 or 6 hours and then sometimes play poker after and sometimes come back and just get ready to do it again. And I don't know. I really like this gig, though. I'm looking forward to when I can go into Hustler Casino Live fresh. I never have. Not once. Like, oh, wow, I actually slept last night. I maybe worked out. I, you know, chilled. I did, yeah, a little work, but not a ton, and I chilled. And then I'm coming into work ready to go. I look forward to that. I think I'm going to get good at this commentating thing. I think I've already gotten serviceable for sure. And I've always felt like I could crush this shit. I know what's going on in hands and I can do it quickly. And I know what's going on with people at the table because no one has more experience than I do. Anyways, it was a good show on Thursday, November 18th. And it's always theater, in my opinion. I think people focus too much on, well, that person's saying bad things or that person is acting inappropriate, or that person might be on a substance. Who gives a fuck? It's theater. It's you tune in to be entertained. And that's all I think it is. It's not a how to play poker, how to live, how to, you know, treat others. No, it's nothing like that. It's theater. And it's brought to you in high definition. The other streams are not. The other streams, fucking, you can't see what's going on with people. and you can't hear it. Well, here it's each player's mic'd up. I don't know. Anyways, went downstairs. I got my phone out of my locker, and I had a bunch of notifications from Venmo and Zelle. And let me take yet another sip, and I'll tell you about that. So, a bunch of sick motherfuckers who listen to this podcast somehow rallied together and pitched in and sent me a bunch of Venmo and Zelle with three flames. And if you've been listening to this podcast, that's what Sessions is. It's my attempt at a third rise in life and in poker. I had my first one that actually did take 3 years before I started running good at all. And then it was a pretty big rise, and I was there for 3 years. And then I kind of, I lit it all on fire. And then I had a quick second rise. It was just maybe ran bad for a few months, but then didn't. And had a really big week at Commerce, and that was it. The next year, I played heads up and destroyed fucking everyone. The guys that play the robots said, come on, play. Let's play as much as you want. Let's play. And I was unstoppable. I ran hot, and I never went beyond my first thought in a hand, and it was fucking easy. And then it took a while. I still must have run hot for the next several years till 2017, because I still was winning pretty good fucking money despite being a total shit show in life and spiraling towards rock bottom. And I think I must have, whenever games got shorthanded, I would get competitive and less self-destructive most nights. And anyways, that's what it's been. Is this time was different. This time I had two kids. I was initiating divorce, long overdue, which means paying for all that stuff I was paying for before, but also trying to live on my own. And of course, I've had the most amazing people in the fucking world supporting me and helping me. And that's all in the story. I'm not going to rehash that right now. But it's been 4 years because I've been so in debt, and I have this poker PTSD shit that makes me tilt quick. It makes me go beyond my first instinct sometimes, often. And I'm just so busy. I'm trying to do it differently this time. I'm trying to do it in a sustainable way. I'm trying to do it. My content is what I care about beyond family and people. My content's what I care about the most. I don't give a shit about what anyone thinks about me as a poker player. They're going to find out next year anyways. But I don't care. I want my content to be fire. I want it to be pure, and I want there to be a lot of it. And I think I've accomplished that overall. And yeah, how did I get on this fucking rant? I don't know, but oh, I know. Is so we had the first unofficial meetup during COVID in Vegas, and that was called, I think I called it Three Flames, the episode where I talked about it, or maybe I just called it, and then I got all these Venmos at once from people, and they would put like $100, Three Flames, and it was fucking, some asshole named Edonk was filming, and I started crying a little bit, some bar in Vegas, at the end of the meetup, and it was really something, right, and it gave me money to play poker with. But no one's allowed to do that anymore. I'm building my business, my businesses. I'm getting paid as a commentator. I'm sponsored by the Hustler. I have Patreon. I'm building that. Poker Eggs is growing. Professional. I still win in poker, even though it doesn't. If you listen to this, you're probably like, "Does Guy ever win?" I do. You'll see. You know, I still do. And I've also struggled with since that first time of people sending me that of, I want to tell the story of how I'm feeling inside. Is it embarrassing, pathetic, all that shit sometimes? Absolutely. I still want to tell it because maybe two things. Maybe someone will be able to relate and they'll feel better about, oh shit, it's easy to feel like everyone else in the world's fucking perfect until you come across someone's like, I'm not fucking perfect. I'm going through it right now. I'm fucking depressed. And you're like, shit, that sucks. But thanks for telling me, because I feel about it, better about the times I'm not doing great. And so I've struggled because I like to do that. I just feel like that's the most pure content there is. Someone just saying whatever, unabashed. But it also draws sympathy from all these people with these huge fucking hearts. So they're not allowed to. Well, I think I said I won't be going on vacation. I hit a fucking huge downswing for me, not for the stakes I'm playing at all, but just for me, who depends on winning every session. And and people were sending, you know, go on vacation, three flames. And it just, that's the first thing I saw on my phone. Like, what the fuck? It was very moving again, like it was the other time. I didn't want it. I really want to be able to tell the story of my life without drawing sympathy. I want it to be entertainment and solidarity. But what can you do? It's going to draw sympathy. And I decided I'm not going to fight it or even investigate it, because someone obviously organized it. I don't know who. And I'm just not going to fight it or investigate it. I don't have the energy to. I honestly don't have the energy to. And I know it's coming from such a good place. And I decided I'm just going to thank each person individually, and not in a fucking group thank you on Slack or somewhere where other people are going to be like, oh, I didn't know that. Here, let me say no. I just decided to thank people and just brief thank yous. Totally spent no energy, but you know, these fucking people, man, they're something. And it's an interesting story. Jeb Beach, Fast Actor, said this podcast is going to be about the listeners. And I didn't know what he meant when he said it. And it is about the listeners. And it's about DGAF community, which I'm building and is enriching a lot of people's lives. A lot. A lot of people spend most of their time on the platforms that I've built. And that feels good. When I connect to amazing people, even if I'm a shit show myself, I'm fucking Defense from the movie Falling Down. Who wants to hang out with Defense from the movie Falling Down? Not me. But I like when I can connect people who are in better places in their life to have fun together. And all. It's the best. And I don't know. So it was just, it was unexpected. And it did pick me up. And part of me wanted to be like, you motherfuckers. And part of me is just thank them and don't fight it and don't investigate it and move on. And then I got a text that my number one groupie was outside in her white Mercedes and she was going to take me to dinner at Joey Manhattan. And I don't know, just a restaurant called Joey Manhattan in Manhattan Beach. And I love my number one groupie so much. She traveled from Vegas to be with Dragon Man. She's getting Defense, but she, you know, whatever. That can change quickly. I can have moments of Dragon Man, even when I'm in Defense mode. Anyways, we get to Joey Manhattan. It looks very cool. Very nice restaurant. Everything in Manhattan Beach is extremely nice. If you're caked off and want to go play at the Hustler, maybe play on the stream, stay in Manhattan Beach. It's fucking amazing. And we get in there, we get a booth, and our waitress, I can tell right away, gets it. Her name is Sierra, and we connect with her immediately. And this is just something I know I got from my dad, because I haven't spent the most time a son could spend with their dad, but the times I have, just anywhere we go, just watching him connect with people everywhere. And the one time I went to his 50th birthday party, just the people that were there. Oh, I used to cut his hair. I used to change his oil. I used to, you know, play on a softball team, whatever the fuck it was. He connected with people, and that's the shit in life. I've already talked about that, but I'm talking about it again, because we connected with Sierra at Joey Manhattan right away. And it's very simple. Some people are about connection, you know, and some people have their head up their own ass, and that's fucking fine. And, you know, a lot of people are insincere, or they think they're better or worse than others, and that's fine. I can't deal with that. I can deal with people. Well, if you think you're worse than others, I can deal with that, but you're not. You're the same. I cannot deal with people who think they're better than others. Fuck that. And a lot of people do. Even if they don't know they do, they think they're better than others. Okay, enjoy your life. I can't deal with that. Sierra doesn't have that vibe. And the last time we went out in Long Beach, Pac, our waiter at the ramen place, didn't, he was about connections too. And it just makes time go by so much better, right? And it's all variance anyways. If you think you're better than someone, maybe you're more successful. I had quotes, you didn't see it, but I put successful, the finger quotes. Well, like, you know, you have more money, or you make more money, or, you know, this or that, or people think you're great, or you're really good at something. Well, it's all fucking variance anyways, if you go all the way back. And I don't know, just maybe be more chill like Sierra is. And I mean, she's just a waitress at Joey Manhattan, but she's cool as shit. And I said, I'll have a Corona, please. And she says, we don't have Corona, but we have a salt and lime beer. Would you like to taste it? And I said, no, actually, just bring me two. And she was like, all right, you're weird. And I was like, yeah, I am. But our meal was great. And it was made better by having a great server. And we headed to the Airbnb after this. Watched some other streams. I'm on the commentator grind. So, you know, when I got into poker, I absorbed everything there was on poker. And I just, you know, then at a certain point I didn't. And when I got into podcasting, I didn't know anything about podcasting. I didn't even listen to podcasts. And I started listening to other podcasts. I listened to mine a ton to try and get better. And now this new form of content, commentating, well, I want to listen to I want to check out the other streams. I want to see what's going on with them. And yeah, and you know, so it seems like they went backwards, back in time. I ask, like, what was this show always been like this? The other shows that are pretty popular, that's how good a job Ryan, Nick, and Sean Yapel have done at The Hustler and Hustler Casino Live. It's crazy the difference in quality. And I don't know. And anyways, I felt like I finally nailed my intro on this night, Thursday, November 18th. And I'm going to play that for you. I don't know, because I want to. So, you know, scroll to like where it's about to start. I want to hear it. Raver Poker did all this.
You only pass through this life once. When you get old, all you're gonna have left is your memories. So make them good.
What a sick intro. I done doubled up on the workload. I think I fell in love with the bankroll. Pray up, get money, then we lay low. Then we lay low. This shit should get you pumped up. It gets me pumped up when I'm in the booth. So I just watched the other streams, and now I'm watching the real stream, and I want to see how I did. And this was my intro on this night. I'm working on my intro. So I'll be in the booth, and this is when I take a couple breaths, and then I hit the button, and my mic is hot, and I've been working my intro. I usually suck at them. I think I'm getting better.
Welcome to the number one live stream in poker, Hustler Casino Live. My name is DGAF, and for the next 5 hours, I'm going to let all of you at home feel like you are sitting at the table with all these high-stakes poker players at the beautifully renovated Hustler Casino in the heart of Los Angeles. I'm also going to call the action and insert some commentary whenever it seems right.
So, I write something every time, and I've written some weird shit, but I don't know. I wanna have an intro that works. I'm getting close, and I don't know. On this night, I felt good about that one. It didn't sound cringe, like I was kind of reading, and it didn't sound like that bad of reading aloud, and I suck at reading aloud, and I don't know, did watch a little of that and crashed, and then woke up on Friday, November 19th, and I started working at the Airbnb with no coffee, and that's always a mistake. Head's going to start hurting, so I headed over to DoubleTree. I needed to get my shit. I needed to check out, and I'm listening to Carter 5 by Lil Wayne. I can't stop listening to this album, and I've long been a Lil Wayne fan. I don't like the tough guy shit or the misogynist shit at all. That's not for me. But the genius in his shit, how he deals with the obvious pain that he has, stuff is unmatched, in my opinion. And I don't know, that's just the latest album by Lil Wayne I just can't stop listening to. I grab my shit and I head back to the Airbnb. And I work, because that's what I do. And did a lot of writing, and I took a tiny nap, and I woke up groggy. You know, sometimes you wake up from a nap, you feel great. I did not. And I got dropped off at the Hustler and for the Friday show. And, you know, there's other streams you can watch, but I honestly, after checking them out, I don't know. I mean, I guess a lot of you love poker more than I do, so you can watch them. I can't. I can watch Hustler Casino live, though, because it's fucking theater. It is. It's close up. It's real people getting out of line, whatever, and being human. And I don't know. I got my caffeine and my ice. So I get a lot of caffeine because I try to not go to outer space too much when I'm in the booth. And Friday show's 6 hours straight. And I don't know. I just have a tendency to go to outer space. Like my son did, if you are a patron and heard about him playing goalie in one of the recent drops. He went to outer space one time and just was on the wrong side of the goal instead of the middle in soccer. It's just something I've always done my whole life. Abstract thinkers go to outer space, especially when they're doing the same thing for too long. And so one way to combat that is with a lot of caffeine. And it's cold now. And so I just get a big plastic cup of ice and I can just, you know, hit my mute button while I'm in the booth and pour more Diet Coke, sugar-free Rebel sometimes, whatever. And I try to, you know, so I don't go to outer space too much. And the waitress that helps me is very sweet. And she gives me a cup of ice and my caffeine. And she gives me a lid that doesn't quite fit and doesn't have a hole on the top of it. Okay. So I'm just focused on that as I'm carrying all my shit back to the booth. And so you walk back into the... Why do I not know what the... So there's the poker room, and I think it's called the Diamond Room? Maybe. I should know this, but I don't. The higher stakes part, I think it's called the Diamond Room. Someone... Well, I'll be up there soon. And I'll correct myself if I was wrong. And then there's the stage that was built. And it's pretty sick. It's pretty gaudy. It's pretty fucking LA high stakes poker. And I just scan the table. They've already been playing. That's how it works. Is they've already been playing at least an hour before I start. And that's for security reasons and production reasons too. And so I just, you know, I just look at the table real quick and I don't see Jerry. And I'd promised the people Jerry was coming. Jerry's one of the most entertaining actors. I say it's theater. Then he's an actor. He is the lead role. He is, it's hard to not watch him and listen to him. He's just so entertaining. He's not there. Okay, so one, people are going to think I lied the night before when I said he was coming. But no, he said he was coming. And two, it's going to be tougher. It's going to be tougher to, I'm going to have to, you know, work a little harder to keep the people watching, because the most entertaining actor is not there for this theater on this night, but it's still going to be good. And so that's what it is. I think it's called the Diamond Room. And then there's that big stage and you see the players and, you know, there are three dealers. And so that's Jared, Lauren, and Magic. Magic, everyone knows he's becoming as famous as the other Magic in LA, pretty much. And there's the floor man, Luis, always cool in both ways. Cool dude and cool when shit starts to get crazy. And then there's Tita, that's the beautiful Asian woman you see getting chips and Starbucks and whatnot. And that's like kind of, you see all that on camera. And you see Raver Poker sometimes with the big camera. And you'll see some other people adjusting some mics or whatever. And then there's security in a locker. And we put all our phones in. Everyone puts their phone in a locker. And then I head upstairs. And then it looks like a air traffic control with a bunch of people grinding. And on this night, four people grinding different jobs. Someone inputting the hand, someone doing this and that. I don't know what I'm supposed to say and not say about this. I know some of it is confidential. But it looks like air traffic control. And that means I give 4 fist bumps because they're all busy as shit doing work. So just 4 fist bumps. And I go back into a separate booth where there are 2 chairs. But usually I'm in there solo. And I'm ready to fucking kill it on this night. I know Fridays are the big, you know, that's the big audience usually. And I'm just getting better at this, but I have so far to go. I didn't have any experience. And Ryan said, you're hired 1 week every month. So that was pretty sick. And I just, I don't know. And now I look forward to it. I'm getting less and less. Well, I wouldn't say I've been nervous. Maybe the very first time I was nervous a little bit. But, you know, you're just aware of what you're saying. And when I'm not aware of what I'm saying, that's when I'm at my best. That's what the listeners of this podcast say. When you just fucking go off and spew and don't think, that's when it's the most relaxing and sometimes the funniest. Well, I want to get there with the commentating gig as well. But, you know, it's just a brand new thing and it's Friday. And so hopefully I will do well. But then again, I also really wish I had more sleep and or rest leading up to this. It really feels like the end of the week to me. And anyways, let's go. I got a lot of caffeine, thankfully. And what I do is the first day I wanted a notepad because I knew I couldn't have any electronics up there. So I went to a CVS, I think, or a Rite Aid, or maybe it's both. I don't know. But somewhere on the way to Hustler, and I wanted a notepad, like a paper notepad, with no lines on it, so I could draw the table and notes and whatnot. And all they had was this pink one, and I got it, and it said something pretty great. Like it's for like a, you know, 12-year-old girl probably, or no less. My daughter's 12; she wouldn't have, like, 6-year-old girl. And I just wrote Hustler on it, and so people use it to. What I do is I tear out a sheet and I draw an oval and I draw the dealer and whatever dealers are working. Usually it's 2 and they alternate. And then I, you know, write the floor man's name and Tita's name. I believe they're part of the show. I mean, I know they're part of the show, but I believe they're part of the theater that people are watching. Is the dealers dealing with the players who are mad at them, who are flirting with them. The stuff that happens in LA Live Poker, it just does, whether you like it or not, it does. I'm not saying it's all right. I'm just saying it is what it is. And you get to see it close up and you get to see how they interact with someone bringing them chips and the floor man and this and that. And so I like to write whoever's working down and all the players. And, you know, now I know most of the players, so I don't need to go ask Ryan, who's this person, what do they do? And a lot of people are private, and I respect that. I've been very private. I've done content for a very long time, and I don't use my name, or my likeness, really. I use some old picture of me dusting it off, but it was a long time ago, and I'm wearing shades in my avatar. So I get that, and there's only one person I need to, there's Ishan. I don't know who that is. So I say, Ryan, who's Ishan? And, you know, I can just see on their screens everyone who's playing. And he tells me. And then I, you know, when I'm done writing, it's usually pretty close to when we're going to start. And then I listen to that music that was playing just a few minutes ago. And then we do a sound check right before the show. And just a quick, can you hear me? Yeah, sounds good. Right. And then, okay, turn off your mic. And then you turn your mic back on, you unmute before the show starts. And one day, I'm probably going to forget to hit that button to unmute. It hasn't happened yet. Hope it never happens. I feel like it'll happen sometime, and it won't be the end of the world. But today, we have, on this Friday, there's a new setup. So, you just get used to stuff. And so, it's a new headphone, a new mic, and it's a different mic, and it's closer to your mouth. And I said, Ryan, what's this? And he said, oh, there was too much crackling before. And so that there was crackling when anyone would touch their head or whatever. And he said, not with you so much, but with other commentators. And I was like, yeah, those fucking hacks. Wish they wouldn't touch their headphones and their mic so much. And anyways, Ryan just saw that. He got better equipment. And I'm joking. Those guys are, everyone that commentates on there is good, better than me. And I'm trying to learn from all of them. I wish they wouldn't touch their microphone though. Jesus. No, just kidding. So new equipment. And that's the energy of this shit. What? There's too much crackling? Okay, we'll get brand new shit. Yeah, and that's what Ryan and Nick do. And so that stuff came on, and then it was time for me to do my intro. And I said, welcome. And when I did that, it fucking almost made me deaf. It was so loud in my ears somehow. And just because new setup and you have to get the levels right, I'm sure, I don't know. But it was so loud. I did the intro kind of quietly and monotone because it just sounded so loud, like almost hissing. And if you turn up, like if I turned up my headphones now too loud, there'd be a lot of hissing when I say an S or whatever. And I don't know. It was just so I got through the intro and then I adjusted it a little bit, but all night it was a little bit too loud. And the mix with the table wasn't what it usually is. And you know, I need to learn what the knobs do better, and that's okay. It's all new, and I don't know. It was 6 hours, and it was fine. It was a good show. Julie ran horrible again, Julie Yorn. And then one thing I will say is that I never understood. There's a lot of things I don't understand, what the knobs do, and I never understood the chat, because I was like, whoa, the chat is like the most toxic shit there is. Why is there chat, and why is no one managing it? And then I just kind of called them out. I just, you know, said, that's lame. And it got better. And all week, this week that I was up there, was they were good. It was a lot of love. Loving is better than hating. And anyways, they're being so lame to Julie. And Julie was actually in the chat at the end of the show because they stopped playing and then the stream's still going. And how can you be so fucking mean to people, especially these actors that give you this free theater fucking five times a week? And here's just what I want to say, that it's transparent. If you are a hater, you're miserable inside. It's not about anyone else. It's about you. And that sucks. I feel for you, and I've been there. But now that you know this, because I just made you aware of it, fucking own it. Own that you're miserable inside and start working on it. Stop taking it out on other people. And I don't know. It's crazy how many people don't realize this. Like, they'll be like, you're the worst fucking commentator ever. You don't know shit about poker. And I'll be like, okay, thank you. I just say I love you. If I have time to type, I'll just say I love you. Whatever your name is, you know, dickhead 94. But they're saying shit about Julie, and it's just like, come on, man. She's an interesting character. She's a Hollywood producer. She's produced some amazing shit, and she's run poorly every time I've been up there or seen it even before other times when I'm not there. If she runs good, she can hold her own. Or if she runs okay, she can hold her own against anyone. But she just always gets coolered or binked on or whatever. And they're like, she's stupid for running it twice. And it's like, oh yeah, okay, she's stupid for running it twice. I don't know. And the show wrapped up. It wasn't my best performance as a commentator of the week, but I felt like I had a good week and I had a good talk with Ryan, and things are looking good on that front. Looks like my role is pretty secure. I didn't know how it was, and might be getting bigger even, potentially. Could. I don't know. I still do feel like with more experience, and then if I could ever go in there, like if I could ever wake up, do a little work, and then like go for a walk and chill, or maybe even play like a executive golf course and then go into Hustler Casino Live, it would be on. Or, you know, sleep, whatever. It would be on. But I don't think I've been in there once where I had, you know, all the energy that I like to have, like, whatever. So I felt good after talking to Ryan, and it's 11 p.m. and my number one groupie is there, and she is hangry. She's on the floor playing poker. And someone at the show, I won't say who, when she walked by, said, hello, who's your daddy? And she turned around and said, what? And she's Armenian and hangry. And I just learned all this like right when I get out on the main floor. And I'm like, okay, let's get out of here. Let's get out of this place and let's go. And I told her I want to go somewhere dark and chill after this show because you're spent. even if you do go in fresh, you're going to be pretty exhausted after 6 hours of looking at two screens and interacting with chat and this and that. And there's other stuff going on, right? There's, okay, here comes a promo. It's awesome. I fucking love it. But you're going to be spent, and I just want to go somewhere dark and chill, and I want to eat and drink. And she found a place in Koreatown. And I said, okay, we're going to Koreatown. And I'm thinking, I have some memories here, some dark ones during my spiral. Yeah. Of Koreatown. And it's okay because my life, it makes you, dark memories are okay because it makes you realize how much better your life is now. And if you listening are in a very dark place and you have been for a while, I know how to get you out of it. All you have to do is work every single day for 4 years and drop 750 episodes of a podcast and just spew your heart out. And seriously, you will feel better. You will be in a less dark place. And that's my story, at least. And I think back to my trips to Koreatown back in the day and how different it is on this night. It's a big difference. My energy, even though I'm exhausted, my energy's good. I'm optimistic. And I just think of my vision. I don't know if this makes any sense, but I have this big vision now. And it kind of, those memories during the spiral, it was kind of like I was looking through a peephole, if that makes any sense. I don't know. It's what I wrote on my notes. So we went to this place that my number one groupie picked. And my number one groupie is also known as the princess in this story, in case she doesn't like this new title. Love you, boo boo. And we get there. She researched it for us and says you need a vaccine card. What the fuck? That seems weird. I don't have my vaccine card with me. So I Yelp another place. And it's midnight now, an hour after I got off the show, and I haven't had a drop of alcohol or a morsel of food yet, and defense is starting to come out. Well, you know, maybe I was Dragon Man on the way there with defense. Like, come on, we need to find some place to fucking, you know. And then this other place also, when we get there, it says you must have proof of vaccination, and Princess has it, but I don't have my card. And I say, man, I don't know. I had the Clear app for the World Series of Poker, and I try and pull that up, and of course I boom her out. Can't figure that. And they're like, oh, you have it? Okay, that's all we need. And so the reality is they don't give a shit. I thought it was like these fucking uppity restaurants saying you must have your vax card. No, I think it's L.A. or it's Koreatown, whatever. But the restaurants don't actually give a shit. You don't have to show it. I didn't. And sat down, and I said, would you like to start with something to drink? And it was Korean barbecue. And I said, yeah, I'll have a large Sapporo. And he said, oh, we have a glass or a pitcher. And I look at the princess. I said, you want some beer? And she said, nah. And I said, looked around more. And I said, I'll get a pitcher. So I'll just order a pitcher for myself. Fuck it. Let's not bullshit each other right now. Don't bring me one glass of beer at the end of this week. I'll be done with it before you're like, no, just bring me a pitcher. In one glass. Why not? So, well, they don't have fish on the menu for her. Fuck my life. She doesn't eat red meat. And the places we go to in Vegas have fish options. So, fuck. They only have shrimp and whatever. We'll get the shrimp. It arrives. They didn't even clean it. And so she's not going to eat that. There's shit. You have to clean shrimp. There's shit in there. If you don't clean it, there's shit in there. And she's like, well, can you help me clean it? And they're like, oh, we don't do that. And I'm like, okay, fuck this place. I don't even know what it's called, but fuck it. So we poured. I drank and then I poured. You know, they give you plastic cups these days. I poured a beer in there and just took a beer to go, paid the tab, whatever, and head back to the Airbnb. And Siri wants to teach us a lesson. And it's basically Siri's way of saying, you privileged fucks complaining about your fancy meal, I'm going to send you through the hood. And I don't even know what hood it was, but it was a fucking hood that we went through, like the real hood. Not like, oh, went to the hood. No, like the hood. And it was a reality check of how fucking privileged and fortunate we are. And you know you're in the hood when both of us at the same time looked to see how much gas she had. We did. So that's when you know. And It's just, you know, plenty of gas, fine. It's a nice car, no matter what happened. But it was just Siri was just sick of how entitled I was acting or something. But I don't know. When we drove through Del Taco, because we didn't really eat at the other place, and got back to the Airbnb and watched the different streams again. And I'll say the Live at the Bike commentator on Friday the 19th was good. But the production just doesn't compare to Hustler Casino Live. And I believe Hustler Casino Live wants to beat the competition on every level. So, and they're already doing it on most. And I'm just, that's why I want to get better and better as commentator. Sure, I can feel the air or whatever, but I want to like crush it. I want people to tune in to say, I want to listen to this fucker, you know, talk about the hands and the characters and what's going on. I don't know. So I checked my intro, you know, after checking on the other streams, checked the one I did, and the intro wasn't good. Remember, it was too loud. So what? And it's better to have it too loud than not loud enough. I don't know if you remember that one Super Bowl where some famous singer's sister sang for some reason, and she had no monitors. She couldn't hear herself, and it was awful. It was the worst. It was like cats fighting. And anyways, I don't know. This is the stuff I was thinking about, and then I crashed. And I woke up on Saturday, November 20th, after about 6 hours of sleep, and I made coffee, and I did correspondence, and then I wrote. And I was caught up at 11 a.m., caught up in the writing of the story of my life, which is ending soon. Not my life, hopefully, but the writing of the story of my life is ending soon, on December 19th. Yeah, I'm done telling every day of my life. I just needed to do it for some reason. It felt like the thing to do. It was organic. It feels like the thing to do to shift into sessions being about sessions and just fucking using all the experience I have now to make it the number one poker podcast out there. It just feels like time, right? And so anyways, while I'm still writing, documenting the story of my life in real time, which has many benefits to me, but also takes all my energy. Anytime I get caught up, like I'll be writing, I'll look and be like, oh, it's 11 a.m. and I'm right here in the story. That feels great. And then I went to go get more coffee at Starbucks, meth bucks. I need to get some meth place. And I just was dragging. I worked more and then I packed up and I needed to head to the Hustler to play the session. And, you know, I just, again, what's his name? What's that guy's name? The guru, poker guru guy. I can't think of his name right now. The mindset guy. How come I can't think of his name? Whatever. You know who I'm talking about. Elements of Tommy Angelo. He would say this is not how you should go into a poker session. On, you know, with zero energy and just you've been running bad and you've just been working too hard and no balance in life, no exercise, nothing. And but I wanted to do, I had to play, I could play a session later, but I need to play my two sessions of the week at Hustler because they're sponsoring me. They're a big part of my third rise now. And I also want to somehow show my appreciation for Andrew Nemi, who is a patron, and Brad Owen, who is a friend and basically a patron. He's done a lot for this podcast and for getting it out there. And they're having a meetup on this day. And the very least I can do is go play in it and then podcast about it. And also, I have no fucking bankroll to play bigger. I mean, I could play a little bigger. They're playing 5-5, 3 to 1,000. I could play a little bit bigger than that. But that downswing really got me. And yeah, so that's what happened. I went to Starbucks, came back, worked, headed the Hustler at 2 p.m. on Saturday, November 20th. And tune in tomorrow to hear about that session, the session for this week. Hopefully I'll get some Bradley dollars, maybe some Nemi dollars too. Peace.
I hope you enjoyed this drop of sessions. If you are a patron, thank you. And if you're not a patron, well, I don't know what to tell you. Huh? Princess, I'm doing the outro. He's gotta be strong and he's gotta be fast, but That's a lot of stuff. Princess, I know. We're trying. Larger than life? I guess I'm gonna need some help then. Princess, I hope the listeners go to patreon.com/DGAFPokerPlayer. Because otherwise...